Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Your Wood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
The full hour here on ESPN Radio 1017, the team. And we're coming to you from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. That's right, sunny this year. I don't know if you remember last year, but last year it was a deluge. We had the rain delay race. And, of course, you know, last week they had all that rain over in Texas. And, of course, started a conversation about, you know, whether all of the Sprint Cup races should run to completion, whether a rain delay actually is unfair to the drivers. But we're coming to you from Phoenix. We'll be at PAR a little later today, a little later start, so we're doing something a little bit different this morning, but we're here enjoying Phoenix. And last night we checked out the Lucas Oil 150, four punchster ticket for the chase. I'm going to have Dominic Aragon from the Racing Experts joining me in just a minute. We're going to break down the race for you. The Ticket Galaxy 200 is on this evening. You'll be able to check that out. That's the Xfinity, and four drivers will punch their ticket in that. And, of course, on Sunday, the Can-Am 500, also referred to as the Kevin Harvick Invitational, will be going on, and we'll see if Kevin Harvick can go from eighth to the top four and compete. So joining the show right now is Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts. How you doing this morning, Dom?
Hey, good morning, David. Great to be here.
Man, it was worth the drive. I mean, we hauled butt. I'm not going to say how many times you were exceeding the limit, but that would be about 90% of the time on the way out here, which is only fitting because we really enjoyed the drive. But got here in time to catch the green flag for the Camping World Truck, and I tell you, it was quite an event. And we were able to catch up with a couple of drivers afterwards, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute, but the emotion that was felt, I think it is a perfect example of why NASCAR went to this knockout format and all the way down to Camping World, because it really added to what was basically kind of a boring race. I mean, it never got any momentum. What were some of your observations from the truck race last night?
Absolutely. You touch on it. I think whether you were there in attendance, whether you were there watching it on TV, or you caught the highlights of the race, great event. It had all the drama you were looking for. You can call it artificial entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but last night had drama. How does the guy who has six wins this season, who looked arguably very safe, led the most laps last night, had a misfortune of his own, an engine problem that knocked him out of the race? It was just a handful of laps to go, that being William Byron. Six wins this year, great rookie campaign. He will not compete for the championship next week, but for those who aren't familiar with it, he had some engine woes with about 20 laps to go while leading the event and did not advance to the championship round, and I think that's just very phenomenal. But you look at the format, whether you like this chase format or not, last night proved how exciting it can be, whether you're in the media, whether you're a fan, whether you're a casual observer of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
Well, I absolutely agree with that estimation. Like you said, whether it's a formula, it's concocted, or whatever it was, it really brought the drama. I mean, because William Byron, I was standing down in turn one right at the pit during most of the race. You could actually hear him come off the accelerator and feather it through turn one, almost like he was trying to save the equipment. He was so dominant. At times, he was, you know, six or seven truck lengths ahead. Most of the restarts, he was able to pull two lengths before he got to turn one. I mean, it was really a dominant truck. And then, you know, 100 laps, you know, he led over 100 laps, and then all of a sudden, the motor gives. But what a class act. I mean, we were there, caught a couple of quotes with him. All the media was around him. Because like you said, I mean, he had this thing sewn up like weeks ago. It didn't play out like that. But you have three opportunities to advance. You have all kinds of opportunities in each round. You know, and if you don't make it, you know, make it on points, you win. And so the team had every opportunity to do that, and it just didn't get done.
No, it didn't. And you look at William Byron, like you said, he was phenomenal on restarts, great all night, and things out of his control ended up taking him out. But you know what? I think it would have been completely acceptable, especially for anyone in his position, to be dejected after that.
Absolutely.
And he didn't show that last night. He talked with television.
But well, his eyes were awfully red.
You could tell he was out of the car.
His eyes were awfully red.
But after he climbed out of the car, even post-race, you saw it. He sat there and talked to all the media. He was very cordial. He was very, very specific in explaining what had happened and how he'd felt with his team. He was very honest. And you don't see that a lot with the younger drivers. And I think there are other drivers in this sport that can learn and take a lesson from William Byron and how he handled that.
Well, I mean, I could think of, you know, at least a couple of Cup drivers that are still in the chase. We'll see how they handled their post-race after on Sunday afternoon. Johnny Sauter, though, I mean, talk about throwing the switch. You know, in this round, two victories. Also, another solid run last night. Cameron Bell getting in. Timothy Peters, last year's winner of this race, did what he had to do to advance on points. Matt Crafton, 2013-2014 champ, you know, he punched his ticket. So these four are going in. Is Johnny Sauter going to be able to carry some of that momentum from this round? Are we going to see a, you know, Cameron Bell, you know, basically put this thing away next week? And what are your thoughts going into Miami?
I think next week's going to be a great race. Whoever wins among these four, we're going to see the winner of next week's race win the championship simultaneously because of the way this format works. And you look at Timothy Peters. He has won a truck race every year since 2007. And he's not won this year. He's winless. He had Michigan wrapped up, and he got passed on the last lap by Brett Moffitt. So I look at somebody like him. He has to win. If he wants to win this championship, and we talked with him yesterday, and he had told us we have to have a mistake-free race. And Johnny Sauter also alluded to the fact that if they want to win this championship next week, they have to win. And if they win next week, that would have been three out of four races as that team has won. And they've been on fire, as you said, of late. 14 straight top 10 finishes.
Yeah, well, you know what would be great for Peters is if he gets that one win and it's the last one. It's the one that counts. I mean, that would be like one of those, you know, walk off home runs where you get it all together. Let's just talk a little bit about the pace of the race. It was very disjoint. I mean, there was a lot of yellow flags. It looked like they're everybody. I think Xfinity and of course the Sprint Cup needs to watch turn one. A lot of incidents in turn one. It seemed like you know, nobody could get their footing. And then we had that long run. I think we pointed out that there was only one of the mandatory yellows, you know, the clock yellows. And then I had an observation. There was just one pit stop. I mean, some of the teams only stopped once. And, you know, just the way that it, you know, it played out on that one-mile track. I mean, what were your thoughts on just overall, it seemed like the pace of the race was just very odd.
It seemed like it was very predictable in the first third of the race. All the cautions, I think the first three or four cautions, two out of three, were on first lap incidents.
Yeah.
Going back from the start or the restart, and we saw turn one spins, we saw different cars get into it, it seemed like turn one was the treacherous point, and I think that's going to be a factor today in the Xfinity Series, guys trying to make that arc. There's going to be guys running over each other like we saw last night.
I think it's too much too fast. You know, I mean, they're trying to pass people because passing is difficult. I saw a lot of side-by-side, two-wide, three-wide, you know, I mean, yeah, actually coming out of two, I saw them three-wide several times. And I thought, you know, only one time I see somebody kiss the wall, which out of two, which is pretty amazing. But I think that maybe that's just the sign of how you got to get it done. You got to get it done now is, you know, that level of aggression going into turn one.
Absolutely, and you saw that going off in turn three and turn four as well. Observing the monitors or just even kind of seeing some of these trucks come out of the corner, yeah, I didn't think some of them would be able to stick two and three wide, but a lot of them came down the front stretch three wide and were able to hold it. There was some great racing last night, and if any fan gets the chance to go back and watch it, even the highlights, it was a great race, and it reassures me that, hey, you know what, it doesn't matter what kind of season any of your drivers may have had or what your thoughts are on the NASCAR season, last night's race was a defining moment for many of those drivers, and I think that's just a preview to what we're going to see at Homestead next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just talk a little bit about Phoenix. I mean, you know, because this is kind of our home track, if you will. I mean, Albuquerque, 6.5, 7-hour drive, you know, depending on how fast you want to do it. But, you know, how you've got the Martinsville hot dog. I mean, they're pushing the El Sol Salsa Monsoon Nachos. I mean, you know, so, I mean, trying to get their own signature food out here, as well as, I mean, they got a bunch of stars are going to come out. I mean, you know, Hinder, The Offspring, are playing on Sunday. I think that's, you know, a combination. I was thinking, oh, they, you know, they're trying to reach out to younger people, but then I realized, geez, I've been to the Offspring concert like, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So maybe not as young as I thought. Maybe hinders to, that attempt. But, you know, the Phoenix Four, hashtag Phoenix Four. So if you're going to be following the race, you want to participate in the conversation, basically all three of the Pro Series levels are going to walk away with just four. With a chance to win. What's one of your favorite parts about coming to Phoenix?
I think the weather is a big part of it. You come
well,
down
this
here,
year.
Absolutely. It's always 20 to 30 degrees warmer than it is in New Mexico. And it feels like an extension of New Mexico. Like you said, it's our home track. We're only 6.5 hours away from Albuquerque, depending how fast you drive out here. And, yeah, it really does have like a hometown feel to it. And I think it's our closest track to drive to as well. So. There's a lot of factors that go into that. For me personally, I do enjoy that. So, and we get to see a lot of family, friends, and different people we don't get to see throughout the year. The Phoenix is so close.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, we're going to take a break now, and actually on the other side, we're going to be joined by Bob Pockris from ESPN.com. Of course, Jerry Jordan with Kicking the Tires is going to join us as well. We're going to break down you know, some of the happenings around NASCAR at any of the pro levels, but we're also going to be definitely talking about the Xfinity race today and the Sprint Cup race for tomorrow. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
Hi, this is Al Unser, four-time winner of the Indy 500. You've been listening to David Strope of the New Mexico Motorsport Report on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
Get in the action with MyBookie.lv. It's an epic fight card. It's UFC 205 this Saturday. Cash in big and get real Vegas odds on Alvarez versus McGregor, Weidman versus Romero, Gastelum versus the Cowboy Cerrone, Misha Tate versus Pennington, Edgar versus Stevens, and more. This is your chance to fatten your wallet, and it all starts at MyBookie.lv. MyBookie.lv has the latest odds on UFC, NFL, college football, hoops, hockey, and a whole lot more. MyBookie.lv is the industry's leading website with the best customer service and credibility in the business. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Don't put up with it anymore. Come join MyBookie.lv with decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print. Pull out your smartphone and type in MyBookie.lv and cash in big today. Call 844-900-BETS, enter promo code radio, and receive a 50% bonus. That's 844-900-2387, or go online to MyBookie.lv and start winning today.
Want to make a statement this celebration season? Have the Barley Room cater your wedding, graduation party, company celebration, or sales presentation. That's right, local favorite, the Barley Room, in-house or off-site. Their gourmet food truck and tap trailer with draft and craft beers can make your event one to remember. Penny pumpkin pasta with Italian sausage, green chili glazed ham, wraps and salads. Kick back and enjoy the party. Have the Barley Room cater your next event. They will customize a menu for you. BarleyRoom.com.
You never know when your weekend recreation will become an unexpected bone and joint problem. When it does, UNM Sandoval Regional Medical Center can get you moving again. Surgeons, physical therapists, and imaging at our Rio Rancho location, where we put you and your health first.
As we prepare for our Thanksgiving feast, please remember those in our community that are less fortunate. St. Felix Pantry needs canned goods and cash donations to meet the vast need in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, and Sandoval County. St. Felix Pantry has been meeting that need for over 40 years. Contact Manuel Casillas at 505-270-1366 or drop off your donations at 4020 Barbara Loop Southeast in Rio Rancho. Pickup is available. St. Felix Pantry is a Felician-sponsored ministry. To give online, stfelixpantry.org.
Pop Brown here to tell you about Calibers. In New Mexico, Calibers offers the largest inventory of safes, accessories, and guns. And with their price match guarantee, there is absolutely no better place to go. Calibers offers all-inclusive concealed carry classes taught by their certified expert trainers. Follow Calibers on Facebook, Instagram, and sign up for their email blast to take advantage of flash sales every Wednesday at noon. Shop online at CalibersUSA.com or one of their two locations. Tune into the Caliber Sportsman Show with Will and Ryan now on Sunday mornings 8 till 10 right here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And joining us right now from PIR is Bob Pockris. How are you doing this morning, Bob?
Doing good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and so, of course, the weather's fantastic. This is a lot better than what you experienced last year at this race and, of course, last week in Texas. ESPN.com, you guys were talking last week, threw out a question about whether all the chase races should run to completion. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, if you asked me that a year ago, I went out here at Phoenix when the race was, I think I called it with about a little over 90 laps to go, I'd say, man, you kind of wanted a little bit more. And you say, well, you know, should they have tried to come back? Well, you would understand if they would. Last week they finished all but 41 laps. It was 88% of the race. And you were like, you know what? It felt right. So I'm not sure whether 50% is the right rule, which is the current way, which is the way it's done all year. Maybe they should go to 75 or 80%. And then see if they can come back the next day. But, you know, the other thing is that fans pay a lot of money and they also deserve to see a winner. So I don't think there's a good answer, but, if they only got in, 170 laps, you'd feel like, something ain't right.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I think that, Carl Edwards had a car to beat anyway. They were really strong. I mean, they were on this very similar pit strategy as everybody. So I think that it didn't necessarily it wasn't a strategy that changed the outcome on that. So I think that they did the right thing on that case. Plus you got a tight schedule. I mean, you're building up to a championship. There's a lot about consistency with teams of how they prep and how they prepare. If you start, pushing out days, it really does, I think, down the road affect the product.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're professionals. It's called adversity.
Right.
I don't think that this decision should be made on the basis of what's good for teams and stuff. I think the decision needs to be made on what's good for fans and competition. And you balance those two and you try to get to the best result. I don't think nobody would want to see a bunch of drivers miss out on advancing because they made a choice whether to pit when the rain came out or not. I think that's probably what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. Great answer. Let's stay focused on the fans. Another issue that I think is very interesting is, of course, NASCAR is changing the rules as far as Sprint Cup drivers, competing in Xfinity and Camping World, and that's one of those things. The same argument is it a benefit to the fans to be able to see the Sprint Cup drivers, or does it actually hinder the competition of the Xfinity drivers or the Camping World drivers? And what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think that there's some benefit to having Cup drivers in an Xfinity race, especially, if people can't afford a ticket to a Cup race, but they can get there for an Xfinity race, they can see some of the stars of the sport. I don't think you can understate the importance of that. On the other side, you need to have young drivers win and making names for themselves. And a lot of times, somebody making a sponsorship decision doesn't always understand the dynamics. And so if they see you finish fifth, they'll be like, well, why didn't you win? And you say, well, there are four Cup guys ahead of me, and that doesn't resonate. So I think NASCAR took a step in the right direction. My main concern is that you need to find a way to get sponsors to get behind these young drivers. And the question is, with a couple of fewer Cup guys, Kyle Busch not spanking the field, and Brad Keselowski, or him and Brad Keselowski him and Logano fighting for a win. Is that going to be enough for young drivers to make their names for themselves, or is it just now going to be, you know, the Austin Dillons for a couple more years, Kyle Larson's, Ryan Blaney's? You know, are those guys going to be the ones who are winning these Xfinity races that that Kyle Busch has been winning for years and years?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, the balance between what the teams need through sponsorship money and of course, the fans who ultimately pay the ticket and keep everybody employed. Considering that, talking about sponsors, NASCAR is still working on a Cup deal sponsor. Any developments on that?
Well, I mean, I think they're making progress from what I hear. You know, they said last week that they're still having productive discussions. That's exactly, you know, kind of the vibe I get. You know, nothing is done till it's done, right? And NASCAR obviously needs to announce something sooner than later. You know, I think the question is if they get something done in the next week, they obviously don't want to overshadow Homestead and their champion, but they may still need to at least announce that they have something done with in principle, even if they don't mention the company, so that, you know, so that there aren't just all questions going into the championship about, you know, what about next year? You know, look, these teams are, you know, have already done diecasts. They're already put in orders for those. They've already done uniforms,
right.
And, you know, they're just waiting for what that logo is going to be, or doing preparations to add that logo when it's time. And, you know, you know, granted, these deals do take a long time, and you're trying to find a company whose sponsors don't whose products don't necessarily conflict with too many others in the garage, you know, to try to, you know, keep it so that it's, you know, if there are any exclusivity provisions, that there aren't too many issues. But obviously, NASCAR needs to get it done, because, you know, the Daytona 500 is just a little over 3 months away.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing you put it in that perspective. But I think, you know, between crowning a champ and championship week, you know, weekend, I think there's some opportunity to do something there. And if it goes beyond there, I think they have a real issue. They have a real problem. Great story yesterday with Alex Bowman winning the pole. What are your thoughts on seeing the local kid Alex Bowman getting the pole?
Well, I mean, it's a great local story. It's a great story for Alex Bowman. I think the only question is, what is he going to be doing next year? You know, has he found the right place to be? You know, I think he's kind of a prime example of somebody who maybe took a stab at Cup a little bit too early, but just as we were talking about the, you know, Cup drivers in Xfinity, he didn't really have that kind of opportunity to really shine in Xfinity, you know, in a full season. And so, you know, he made the move to Cup, you know, and he's trying to learn as he goes. So I think he's showing great potential. I think this will open up some eyes. It certainly never hurts to have the Dale Jr. fan
right.
base behind you, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, that adds a lot. And I think the thing about Alex is that, you know, he's really kind of grown into himself and in a comfort zone, you know, to show some of his personality and as a driver, you know. And I think he'll be somebody that other people will watch for lessons learned on what to do and maybe what not to do, or what to, you know, what are the challenges if you take a certain path. Because, you know, when you're so young as he was, when you just was starting to break in, you know, it's difficult to handle all the pressures and try to do everything, you know, in a way to earn that big ride. And there really is no, if he's proven anything, there's no clear-cut path, and sometimes you just have to try to take advantage of the opportunities as they come your way.
Absolutely. So looking at the chance that, you know, I mean, Kevin Harvick's got a great chance to win the race on Sunday. Let's say, you know, let's prognosticate a little bit. Let's say Kevin Harvick did get that thing done and Joey Logano ended up getting on points. We would have the ultimate in parity. I mean, you'd have, you know, the four top teams, each with a driver represented. Is that a scenario that you would prefer as a as a writer, as a media person? I mean, because, you know, I mean, all the different angles are better. Or did you really like last year's story with Jeff Gordon, last race, chance to go out on top, and the small little engine that could with Martin Truex being in there? What are your thoughts on the ultimate parity with having four different teams with one driver each?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's good to if you have young and veteran drivers in there, and would a Kyle Larson have made a great storyline? Obviously, Truex would have made another strong storyline. I think you do have a strong storyline, and obviously Jimmy Johnson going for seven. You know, how many fans are going to be there cheering for him to win seven, and how many are going to be cheering against him? You know, it's funny. I talked to somebody who was at I think Rockingham when Richard Petty clinched his, or when Dale Earnhardt clinched his seventh, and half the crowd was rooting against Earnhardt because he was in Petty country, right? So,
right.
So I think it's good to have a variety of storylines. The way this format is, though, it's going to be, who gets hot at the right time and, who is maybe best prepared for Homestead. So, I think the good thing about this championship hunt is that you'll have people who've won championships, at least in Jimmy Johnson, and you'll have a guy like Carl Edwards who, if there's an ultimate of the theory that you have to lose one before you win one, I would point to Carl Edwards as that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only guy to actually end in a tie, and then that be taken away in this Chase format. Hey, Bob, really appreciate you joining the show with your insight, and invite people, of course, to follow you on ESPN.com. But thank you very much for joining the show this morning.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, we got a whole lot more coming up, including we're going to talk to Jerry Jordan with Kicking the Tires on the other side, as well as we're probably going to have a little panel discussion here as who's going to be our final four picks and who's going to run away with the championship. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Bob Pockris of ESPN.com. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio Albuquerque, 101.7 The Team.
Napa Auto Parts presents NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Know-How with Chase Elliott and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Chase, it's time to take your social media game to the next level.
Like how?
For example, I just asked what your rookie nickname should be and got 400 responses.
Let me see that. Outer Space Chase? High Speed Chase? Sparky?
Isn't the internet a beautiful thing, Sparky?
Tune in next time for more Napa Know-How with Chase and Dale Jr.
Bob Brown here to tell you about Calibers. In New Mexico, Calibers offers the largest inventory of safes, accessories, and guns. And with their price match guarantee, there is absolutely no better place to go. Calibers offers all-inclusive concealed carry classes taught by their certified expert trainers. Follow Calibers on Facebook, Instagram, and sign up for their email blast to take advantage of flash sales every Wednesday at noon. Shop online at CalibersUSA.com or one of their two locations. Tune into the Calibers Sportsman Show with Will and Ryan now on Sunday mornings 8 till 10 right here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The Better Business Bureau and its accredited businesses are committed to building a better business community based on trust, honesty, and integrity. Monty Cigar Shop, JMC Roofing, Thunderbird Property Management and Realty, IntelliTech College, Comfort Inn Albuquerque Airport, Southwest Tile and Design, and Green Globe Environmental have made the commitment. Backer Works Manufacturing, Terracon Consultants, Urban Earth Landscaping, Fred V. Hill and Sons Roofing, Add It Up, and ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team are all accredited and stand with the Better Business Bureau. Join today, 346-5113. Start with trust. BBBSW.org.
Do you have a lot of conflict in your relationship? If so, researchers at UNM Health Sciences Center and MRN would like to talk to you. We are looking for married or cohabitating couples, ages 21 to 45, to participate in a research study examining couples and their relationship conflict. The study involves three sessions, and you may drink alcohol in one or two sessions. Couples can earn $200 for participating. Please call 272-9538 for more information. That's 272-9538. 9538.
At California Closets, they believe exceptional design changes people's lives. Custom solutions using the highest quality materials and made to the most exacting standards are combined to give you space and time for what matters most in life. California Closets has worked with millions of customers to create beautiful designs to fit every budget and every room. Contact us today for a free design consultation and let them work with you to create something extraordinary. California Closets showroom is on Alameda, Jefferson. Call 858-1100 or go to californiaclosets.com.
Come see the all-new 2017 Hyundai Elantra SE and Sonata SE, available now at Larry H. Miller Hyundai. Get into a new Elantra for only $149 a month or the Sonata for only $199 a month. Head west on Coors to Larry H. Miller Hyundai, New Mexico's number one volume dealer, across from Cottonwood Mall, driven by you.
36-month leases on approved credit, $18.99 due at signing on Elantra, and $23.99 on Sonata on approved credit. Tax, title, license, and $349 dock fee additional.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report in Phoenix. Sunny Phoenix, Arizona. That's right. If you're getting up in Albuquerque, it's a little cold. Sorry. It's very nice here. We're going to go into the Unser Racing Museum event calendar here really quickly. If you're looking to find out all the cool stuff that's going on around New Mexico, New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine is the magazine for you. It's New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine with full monthly color features, business spotlight, reader fever, and a complete listing of New Mexico car clubs. Pick up your free copy at any Napa store in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Los Lunas, Belen, and Socorro. All kinds of great stuff. Find out why the New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine is my local favorite for over 6 years. Going on in the other pro series, Formula One, tomorrow, the Grand Prix of Brazil, 9 a.m. It is the season finale, actually November 27th, Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Going on this weekend, as a matter of fact, Ron Capps is already looking good, might have it sewn up just after qualifying for Funny Car. That's this weekend at Auto Club in Pomona, California. Going on tomorrow, the final event at ABQ Dragway with the Yearwood Take It to the Track. Car shows, make sure you mark your calendar next Friday. Speedway Park and Raceway Reunion at Isleta Casino starting at 6 p.m. You definitely want to make sure you make that. That's Friday the 18th. Saturday, November 19th, Blue Star Moms is having a packing party for deployed troops. David Dominguez was on earlier today with all the information. If you want to participate in that, just call the station or send me an email or something. If you missed any of the New Mexico Motorsports Report, you can always check it out at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Or on demand at 1017theteam.com. Make sure you follow us, you like us on Facebook at the New Mexico Motorsports Report. Follow us on Twitter at MM Report. That was the Unser Racing Museum event calendar. Make sure you check them out. Open daily, 10 to 4, 1776 Montana. If you haven't been there in a while, make sure you check them out. All right, joining us now is Jerry Jordan with Kicking the Tires. How are you doing this morning, Jerry?
Hey, how's it going? I got a couple things to add. We got an Xfinity Series race today. We've got a Cup, a little boring Cup Series race tomorrow that really doesn't mean a whole lot.
Right, absolutely. Hey, first I got to ask you, how you doing, man? I mean, you were driving in from Houston. How's that coming?
I made it to Phoenix. I am sitting in the garden section of a very large big box store looking at black light material that you use to see scorpions with, because I'm waiting to get cylinder exchange for propane, so because I need it for the for the Chasing the Chase HQ, and
awesome.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of kicked back. I won't say what store, but it's large, and so they have a garden section.
awesome. Hey, Dom, you have a question for Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry, Dominic Ottago in here. We've been talking over the last few weeks. You guys have been doing a cool little initiative with the fans, with the little partnership from Shell. For the fans that may not be familiar with it, what's been the partnership throughout the chase? What have you guys been doing that's been really cool?
Okay, Shell Pennzoil and Kicking the Tires joined forces to basically, it's called hashtag Chasing the Chase. You can go on Twitter, if you just type in hashtag Chasing the Chase, you can see all of my posts, all of the reposts. But if you follow me at Kicking the Tires, on Twitter. You can see everything that I post aside from Chasing the Chase. But what we've done, we started at Chicago. Technically, we started in Texas, but we got to Chicago. And then we have camped with fans in the infields, out in the campgrounds, wherever. If a track like Martinsville doesn't have an infield, we were out in the outfield. But we have camped with fans driven from track to track. I drove from Chicago to New Hampshire to Dover to Charlotte to Kansas to Talladega to Martinsville to Texas. Now I'm out here in Phoenix. I'll drive from Phoenix out to Homestead Miami Speedway for the final NASCAR race next weekend. And then I will my wife says I have to be back in Texas by Thanksgiving. So I will continue to drive after the last NASCAR race so that I can get home so that I'm not in trouble.
Well, we should give you an Ironman award for that. That is absolutely brutal. I mean, back and forth, crisscrossing the United States like that. But, hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about Tony Stewart, of course. Tony Stewart had a lot of success out here in the Southwest. I'd love to see him like come away with a race victory in Phoenix. Talk a little bit about Tony's legacy. As we've only got the two more races really to talk about him as an active driver. Talk a little bit about Tony Stewart's legacy.
Well, you hit me straight in the heart, Tony. Media
right.
members are not supposed to have favorite drivers, but Tony and I are different. Tony's always been one of my favorite drivers. He's always been really good to me. And I don't know if he even knew who I was before. Well, I know he didn't, because when he won his second championship, he was in the media center. No, when he won his first championship, he was in the media center at Homestead, and I wanted to ask him a question. Well, I wasn't from a big enough outlet to get one-on-ones or anything like that. That happens in any sport. But Tony was exhausted after racing and all the PR stuff and all the photos. I'm sitting in the back of the room, and he comes up. He says, "Man, you didn't ask any questions." And he didn't know who I was at all. I said, "Well, one of the guys said I didn't, my outlet wasn't big enough." Well, he said, What the heck do you want to know?" He gave me a 20-minute interview, a 15, 20-minute interview, just talking, just pure, raw Tony Stewart talking about how cool it was to win the championship, and then in 11 when he was at Martinsville, I asked him, I said, "Tony, do you realize that you are the only driver in the history of all NASCAR that can have a Winston Cup, a Nextel Cup, and a Sprint Cup trophy?" And he was, because, obviously Nextel went away, turned into Sprint. And that was – Tony is a big history fanatic with the sport, much like Dale Jr. is. Tony's legacy, though, is not just with NASCAR. It's across, Sprint cars and Indy cars and – I know Gene Haas has an F1 car. I don't think Tony would drive it, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Tony get out there and turn some laps in it. Maybe they even do some IMSA stuff in the sports car series. Just because he doesn't want to get out of racing, he just wants to retire from Sprint Cup racing.
Right. And see, that story is a perfect example of the contrast between last year at this time when they renamed PIR the Jeff Gordon Raceway. And how Tony would rather get in a corner with a secondary, third, level market interview and give it his all. Is that's a perfect example of the down to earth, why people love smoke, people hate smoke, versus Jeff Gordon, who's much more polished and of course goes immediately to the broadcast booth. I think Tony just wants to go back to local short track racing, just get out of the media eye and get back to just, loving the sport. But as a car owner, you got to be impressed that he's still got two guys that got a chance to make it in. And of course, this race we've renamed, the Kevin Harvick Invitational. And so he's probably going to get another driver in there and another shot. What are your thoughts for, Kevin Harvick going into this race?
Well, before I get to that, I want to say one more thing about Tony. You hit it on the head. He wants to get back to the local grassroots racing. He's going to race like 50-something races and make a lot of Sprint Cup races as sitting on the box, keeping his team together. You said the Kevin Harvick Invitational. I asked Denny Hamlin that question last week, and Denny refused. I said, Kevin pretty much owns that track out there, and Denny looked at me and he says, "Yeah, ISC owns that track," and he refuses to acknowledge that Harvick is the odds-on favorite when it comes to Phoenix International Raceway. So you're going to see a battle. These JGR guys going up against the Stuart Haas guys at this particular track, especially with Kevin, where he has, I think he's got 8 wins here. So I don't even know. I can't count. I don't even remember. I looked at it. I can't remember how many it was. He is incredible at this track, and I don't know if there's anything that can stop him.
Yeah, absolutely. But like you said, there's a lot of JGR cars that are going to attempt to do that. I mean, Kyle Busch right now, you know, sitting fourth in points and victory, of course, would secure that, make sure it happened. Matt Kenseth is sniffing right there. I mean, it's going to be a battle. Denny Hamlin, it's funny you bring up Denny. I mean, Denny doesn't back down from anybody. I mean, I actually, back in 2010, had him predicted to win a championship way back then. So, I mean, you know, 6 years later, he's still sniffing around. And that's one guy I don't want to have a chance when we get to Homestead. Right now you got Jimmy Johnson punching his ticket. Carl Edwards is in. Who do you think are going to be the final two to get that spot and a chance to race at Homestead?
Well, you're crazy if you don't say Harvick doesn't come out of this with a win at Phoenix. But you got to remember, Kurt Busch also was very good here couple years ago and has a good run here. I think he's shot himself in the foot a couple times in the pit stops. But still, those JGR cars are very, very strong. It's hard to walk away without saying that, you know, they get 3 in the final race at Homestead. You've got Kyle who basically just has to go out there and do it and finish, and he'll probably advance. And you got Matt and Denny. Those guys are going to battle it out. We've seen Denny do things on his own for several races. Talladega, he was left out to drive. He knew going in he was going to get hung out, but that still sucks to know that your teammates are not going to help you because they can't take a chance on getting knocked out of the chase. That's the strategy of the chase. Some people like it, some people don't. If that had been Dale Jr. running in the back, no one would have said anything about it because it's strategy and he was trying to get to the end of the round. But the next week, Hamlin was trying to get out there and he was trying to run up front and Kenseth was out there, and, you know, Kenseth said he felt like he was holding somebody up. Denny felt like he had the best car. He felt like he had a top 3 car. And, you know, Kyle came out and said, hey, our teammates were being held up by our other teammates. Denny held him up. And Denny's like, I had a 3rd-place car. I finished 3rd-place. Where's your problem? So that guy, Denny Hamlin, is going to be tough to hold off. I do look for him to go out there and make some noise this weekend because he wants it bad. He probably wants it worse than anybody else in the garage.
Absolutely. Hey, Jerry, really appreciate you coming on this morning, and we'll see you at the track a little bit later.
Hey, not a problem. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much. You guys can check me out at kickingtires.net. It's always an honor to come on. If I can ever do anything for you guys, let me know.
Awesome. That's Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Check him out. Follow, of course, all the great things he's got going on. Hey, but we got a whole lot more coming on, coming up in the next segment. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 101.7 The Team.
Sing it!
Hi, this is Jeff Fleck from USA Today Sports, and you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Autumn is a great time of year to get out and enjoy your state parks. Waterfowl are migrating and salmon are spawning. Did you know that in New Mexico, more hunters and anglers are killed each year by drowning than gunshot wounds when out on the water? State park officials want to remind hunters and anglers to boat safe and smart during the fall season by following a few simple tips. Life jackets save lives. Always wear your life jacket. Never boat under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Know the weather forecast and take a free boating safety class. Boat safe. Boat smart. For more information, visit nmparks.com or call 888-NM-PARKS.
Do you drink alcohol? If so, researchers at the Mind Research Network and UNM are seeking individuals between the ages of 22 and 55 who are moderate to heavy drinkers to participate in a study. You will be compensated for your time. Study participants can receive up to $660 for completing all study visits. For more information on the study and to see if you qualify, call us at 505-633-4444. 633-4028. 633-4028. That's 633-4028.
Bob Brown here, and I'd like to introduce a few award-winning restaurants and let you know they now cater large and small events. That's right, Nick and Jimmy's, El Patron, and Mykonos are award-winning restaurants, and now you can indulge in their amazing menus anywhere, and they'll bring it to you. We cater large to small events, and you can choose from traditional New Mexican cuisine, Greek, American, and specialty cuisines. Their extensive menus include fan favorites like green chili chicken lasagna, Greek specialty dishes, chicken or lamb kebabs, or even pizza, hamburgers, and pasta. Catering from these award-winning restaurants is sure to please everyone at your party. Nick and Jimmy's, El Patron, and Mykonos offers private and semi-private meeting rooms, so you can celebrate your corporate and holiday parties with them. Space is available, but going quick. Book your holiday party or corporate gatherings today at Nick and Jimmy's, El Patron, or Mykonos. It's never too early.
Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been a staple in the Southwest hot rod scene. Yearwood Performance is the expert, giving you the edge you need on the track and the street. Knowledge of what to use and how to use it. Fuel injection, ignition systems, gauges and accessories. Everything you need all in one place. New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop, Yearwood Performance. 341 Eubank just south of I-40 and 9674 Eagle Ranch Road across from Costco on the west side. Buy local, save time and money. YearwoodPerformance.com.
Casa de Benavides for authentic and delicious New Mexican food like homemade enchiladas, tacos, tamales, and more. Made with delicious house-made green or red chili and Albuquerque the Magazine's top five restaurant with a full bar. It's Casa de Benavides, one block south of Paseo on 4th Street.
Stop stinking and start thinking Atlas Pumping for all your pumping needs. Atlas can take care of your sand traps, grease traps, septic tanks, sewer plants, cooling towers, ponds, pools, storm drains, loading docks, anywhere water collects, Atlas pumps it out. 898-3936, 898-3936. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Coming up later today, we got the Ticket Galaxy 200 Xfinity race. So we have a little panel discussion here. Dom and Matt joining us. First, we're going to talk briefly about Xfinity. Dennis Suarez, victory last night in Camping World Trucks, his first. He's got two wins in Xfinity, so he's locked in, ready to move forward. Actually, no, he's not locked in, but he's got two victories on the season. Daniel Suarez, Elliott Sadler, Eric Jones, and Blake Koch. Right now, the top four going in, Justin Allgaier just one back, and Ryan Reed five back. What can we look for the race today, Dominic?
I think it's going to be exciting. We saw it yesterday. Yesterday was a little bit of a preview of what to expect today. You and I were talking about this yesterday, and I'd like to bring Matt on this too. Blake Koch, fourth in points. How can a driver who has five top ten finishes have the chance to advance to competing for a championship when you look at somebody like Justin Allgaier, who has finished 25 times in the top ten this season? We know it's a product of the Chase format, but I think it's just been phenomenal to see a team, a colleague racing in their first year with an RCR alliance, have a chance to go and possibly punch their ticket today to go race in Homestead for a championship.
Well, if you don't like the rules, change them. You know, if you get yourself in a position to go for it, you got to go for it. I mean, Eric Jones is still, you know, the guy to beat. The Blake Koch story is as amazing as, you know, somebody might say the Martin Truex story was amazing, you know, last year, even though it would have been around it long enough. Martin Truex is just a fantastic driver. The whole Richmond thing really wasn't even his fault. I mean, he can thank Clint Bowyer for that, you know. So, but anyway, I think that, hey, you put yourself in a position to win, and God willing, you know, it falls your way, it falls your way. I mean, he's still got to advance, and Justin Allgaier has had, you know, a pretty good season. So it's just got to finish it. What's your thoughts on that, Matt?
I think it's amazing. I think the fact that Blake Koch with such underfunded team, I agree. I feel like it's amazing how he can go out and run for a championship like Dominic had alluded to Justin Allgaier.
Yeah, no worries. All right, so what's your thoughts, Dom? I mean, are we going to see? Is Blake going to make it, or really is Ryan Reed going to slip in there, Justin Allgaier? I mean, who are we actually going to see in the top four there?
We're going to do it based on numbers. I think Justin Allgaier is your guy to look at. He's 1 point behind Blake Koch, and even if Koch can finish 10th or 9th, Justin Allgaier has a top 5 day.
Absolutely.
It's all over. So, and I think we're safe by saying Daniel Suarez, Elliott Sadler, and Erik Jones, barring any mechanical failure or some sort of pit stop miscue, those three are going to be racing for a championship next week. But I think Justin Allgaier gets it done just based on the equipment factor. Justin Allgaier is in JR Motorsports equipment, and while Blake Koch does have the RCR affiliation with their team, I think this is too strong to root against Justin Allgaier making that final four.
I still think that the format has made it much more interesting than it
Absolutely.
Has been in the past. And so, actually, I'm looking forward to the race today instead of thinking, well, maybe I can kind of relax today and, you know, get, be really ready for Sunday. So let's talk about Sunday. You know, Jimmy Johnson already in, Carl Edwards already in, Joey Logano is sitting there very strong in points. Kyle Busch not necessarily having a good practice or a good qualifying bid, but, you know, always could be a factor. Of course, Kevin Harvick Invitationals. Guys, I'm going to throw it out there. Is there any way that anybody other than Kevin Harvick can use this to pinch their ticket, and could it possibly be a Kurt Busch or a Denny Hamlin that upsets the whole apple cart?
I think there's a great thing that Jeff Bodine talked with us earlier this week. Pressed him on this, okay? Look at the chase. We have 8 drivers. There's 4 guys that are below that cut line. They always tell the media they're not looking at numbers. They're not looking at stats. Jeff said that is a lie.
Right.
He pretty much told us, you know what? Doesn't matter where you are, where you fall in line of points. Drivers are monitoring everything, and drivers are trying to see what kind of edge they can have, whether it be statistics. They may tell you to your face that they don't monitor those kind of things, but somebody like Kurt Busch, who is in a must-win situation, he has to be looking at past stats, past runs at Phoenix. He led laps in the 2015 spring race, and if you recall, that was his first race back after his temporary suspension from the series in 15. He's won at Phoenix before in 2005. Kurt Busch is in a must-win situation. If Harvick doesn't get it done, I think Kurt Busch will lead laps on Sunday, and we could see Busch a factor in this race, like much like we did last year.
Absolutely. So what are your thoughts, Matt?
I feel like Kurt Busch, he has a chance, you know. He is definitely in a must-win situation. Second is not going to be good enough for him. He's had 5 top tens in his past 6 races here at Phoenix. So, and as far as Harvick advancing, personally, I feel like the well is going to dry up here in the desert of Phoenix.
Yeah, at some point, it's a numbers game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't always hit on 21. I mean, regardless of what you think, Dom. You know, I mean, you're not always going to be able to win on that. But I think that the ultimate would be, you know, looking at even Joey Logano, you know, making sure he punches his ticket. If Kevin Harvick gets this done and Joey Logano gets on in points, I mean, you've got 4 different car owners, everybody a chance. And I think that's the ultimate story, and that's the ultimate level of parity. And I think ultimately that's what NASCAR was looking for when they started this whole thing. And because if you know what really started the whole chase format was when Matt Kenseth winning without a victory. So you know this win and you move on. I think has really played out quite well. And what are your thoughts on the excitement going into Sunday's race?
I think the excitement is definitely there. With at the very beginning, since we got to Chicagoland, or even since the beginning of the season when Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500, everyone has been talking about there's definitely going to be 4 JGR cars in the championship four at Homestead. And with Jimmy Johnson's victory at Martinsville Speedway, he's already locked in. So they have a Chevrolet Hendrick Motorsports driver. Carl Edwards won last weekend at Texas. So there's 3 drivers fighting for 2 spots. So I think it's going to be very interesting to watch this weekend at Phoenix.
All right, Matt, who's going to win the race, and then who's going to win the championship at Homestead?
I'm sorry.
No worries. What do you, Dom, who's going to win the race, and then who's going to win the championship?
It's hard to say Kevin Harvick Invitational without Kevin Harvick coming home with the victory. Nope. Without coming home with the victory today or tomorrow, I think Harvick is going to look really good. The practice numbers don't show. They've had their backs to the wall in the past before. They did it last year at Dover. They did it in 2014 at Phoenix. It's hard to say Kevin Harvick's luck may not run out. I personally think he's going to go out and get the victory. And when you look at the championship next week, it's anyone's game. I think we're going to have Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, and Edwards. And I think there's a great chance we see Kyle Busch come away back-to-back champion, or even Jimmy Johnson, an impressive seventh title.
Wow. What do you think, Matt?
I think Denny Hamlin can get it done this weekend. He has a very good shot at advancing, but he has to get it done. I don't think second's going to be good enough for him to advance. With how close the points are, it's just unbelievable as how much what the competition is heading into this race. It's just it's going to be a great race to watch.
Does he back that up by winning at Homestead, taking the championship?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna call that that Harvick does get it done. Joey Logano gets in at points, and then Jimmy Johnson. That's right. I'm calling it right now. Seven time. We're gonna change the name from six time to seven time. But you've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report. Please join us next Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. and we'll be talking all your favorite racing. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Joey Gates. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Justin Allgaier. You're listening to ESPN Albuquerque 101.7, The Team.
Hi, this is Vin Scully. You're listening to Albuquerque's home for the Dodgers, ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
KQTM-FM, Rio Rancho, Albuquerque.